Talk of the Town is sponsored by Barrett Propane, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, A&E Reaper Graphics, Prescott Dirt, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now let's open up the mics. Here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
You better believe it. It is another Thursday here, but not just any old Thursday. Here up in the Prescott area, you know, the Prescott National Forest is very important to us. And so when there are closures anticipated, and this has been coming for quite a while, but I think the forest has really done a good job of coming up with a balanced approach to try and stem the potential of fire without shutting off the entire forest, which is really, a great idea. And so we've got Dale Dieter coming in. He is the supervisor for the Prescott National Forest, and so we'll get a little bit of insight as to how that all came about and talk about some of the important planning activities going on with the Prescott National Forest. A little bit later on, Rodney Glassman joins us. He's a candidate for the Arizona Corporation Commission, and he'll be up after the news. So we've got quite a bit of good info coming your way. So stay tuned. Prescott National Forest Supervisor Dale Dieter coming up next here on Talk of the Town, KQNA AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and on the web at KQNA.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. After a very dry winter, this year's fire season could be more dangerous than normal. As a former hotshot, I'd like to share some tips on being prepared if you have a propane tank. Know how to shut off your propane tank, and in the event of a wildfire, do so, if safe, if you must evacuate your home. Clear a 10-foot area around your tank and remove any combustibles that can easily ignite. And remember, never store your barbecue cylinders indoors or in an enclosed area. You can find more fire preparation safety tips at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Are you looking for the perfect place to get all your printing done? Whether it's preserving precious family photos or vinyl graphics for your work truck, A&E Reaper Graphics has you covered as your local one-stop print shop. Having served Northern Arizona for over 15 years, our customer service is unparalleled as we take care of both your personal and professional printing jobs. From brochures to baby shower invites, A&E Reaper Graphics is your one-stop print shop.
You do your best to protect your loved ones, and while you may keep a fresh battery in your smoke detector and have a reliable home security system, there's a whole different type of protection you may be missing. A life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance is a way to safeguard your loved ones now and in the future. Meet with your local independent agent and secure a policy today to protect theirs tomorrow. Hi, this is Corey Roseman with House Chilson Insurance. We are one of the only locally owned independent insurance agencies in Prescott. Come see us today at 400 Whitespire Road or call 445-4600.
Chance to win a free lunch at Prescott Brewing Company? Just check our website or follow us on Facebook to find out this week's lucky lunch letters. We draw them every Friday, and if the letters we draw match your first and last name initials, yay, you win a free lunch the following Tuesday. Or find out the old-fashioned way. Just pick up the phone and call us at 771-2795. Prescott Brewing Company, your small-town feel with a big world taste in the heart of downtown Prescott.
If you are a current or former smoker, you may want to think about screening for lung cancer with low-dose computed tomography. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends lung cancer screening annually for those at high risk. Yavapai Regional Medical Center performs low-dose CT screening in Prescott and Prescott Valley. It only takes a few moments, and it can set your mind at ease while giving you and your doctor the information you need for intervention if needed. Lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer death for men and women in the United States, and early detection is important. Talk to your doctor about your risk for lung cancer and how low-dose CT screening can help, or call YRMC's Patient Navigator at 928-771-5454. Do it for your peace of mind and for the ones you love.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
All right, and we are back. And joining me live here in the studio is Dale Dieter. He is the Prescott National Forest Supervisor. And Supervisor Dieter, it's nice to have you joining us. I know it's a busy time for you guys, but thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Very happy to be here. Thank you for the invite.
So first of all, the closure that was just announced the other day goes into effect tomorrow. And we're not going to go through all the, you know, minute details about what roads and what trails and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think it's basically a pretty good, if you had to do it in generalities, you could say that everything south of Iron Springs Road, west of Skyline Drive, and when you get down around Senator Highway, around Wolf Creek Road, everything west of there is also closed, and then south of Crown King. And that kind of, in a nutshell, covers most of it. How did you guys come together and decide that this was the best plan to implement as opposed to a wholesale closure of the entire forest?
Okay, I'd be happy to speak to that. First point I would want to make is we actually think about, you know, we address these kind of issues year-round and in constant conversation with our partners and cooperators that we work with, you know, at the state and county and local level. So it's not just, you know, back in January we were thinking, well, we might be here. So we're always have that in the back of our mind. For the specifics of where we found ourselves this season, it was the first decisions around going into our stage one and stage two restrictions were partly made because the other forests were coming in into those same conditions at the same time. And the one thing we found is that we went in a little earlier than what our scientific criteria would have maybe led us to believe in terms of our normal trigger for those conditions. But we knew that we were going to get there at some point anyways. And what we found is, especially with the stage two restrictions, that those have been very effective. You know, before the fire we had this weekend on Sycamore, we had only had 2.1 acres burned, and a lot of the fires we had would not, a closure of the forest would not have helped with anyways. And so we've been real comfortable with that, but what's really was starting to concern us was the condition of the chaparral. As everybody's seen, they're losing most of their leaves, and it is really dry. And we have some areas on the forest downwind of some of the high-value areas we have, such around Prescott Basin and whatnot, Crown King, that are dominated by that chaparral. And we have not had recent fires in those areas, and nor have we had any fuels treatments in those areas. And so that area in particular was a focus for us because of that.
Now, in terms of the stage three, this means that by the way, there's a map available on the Prescott National Forest website if you have any questions in terms of what's in or out of the closure area. But now, one of the things that people talked about was that, you know, having people around does kind of keep at least an eye out for potential problems, and by cutting off the access, that those eyeballs are not in the area. But that's kind of what you have to juggle, I guess, the pluses and minuses of having people able to look at stuff and also keeping people away from areas completely.
That's correct, and that was definitely one of the considerations in what we're doing, because we know there will be people that won't want to follow the rules under any scenario, and we do get a substantial number of our fire reports through the public that's out there, and so that was definitely a concern. The other concern is we can say the forest is closed, but we have thousands of people literally that live within the boundaries of the forest from all the inholdings, and so and statistically speaking, those are actually the fires for private lands is a much more likely source of fire than human caused, or even just, you know, a electric wire comes unhooked from a house, or, you know, those kinds of things are a larger source of fire than just the forest visitors.
And speaking of which, the people that live in the inholding area, in the closure area, are they free to come and go? And what about people that are, visiting relatives or, friends or whatever? How is their access impacted by being in the closure area?
So we have to provide and allow for access for people to access their private lands. So none of that changes. And that would include, the person that's going to fill up their propane tank or relatives that's coming to visit. The one difference for them is though they can access their land, they can't go out on national forest and go walk their dog or take a bike ride or a hike. They've got to follow the same rules the rest of the public does.
So basically they can drive to their house and they can park there and go in and out of the house, period, end of story.
Yeah. Anything on their property.
Well, and that makes sense. What about the critters that are in the closure area? Because we have seen just an amazingly dry winter and spring here in the Prescott National Forest, which of course has led to the first stage 1 and 2 restrictions, and now the stage 3. More and more of these critters are fanning out further and further looking for food and water. Are there more sightings of animals in places that maybe aren't normally impacted by them because of this?
I've only heard anecdotally that at least bears are definitely getting into more conflict areas with the drought. And one thing with the closure, ranchers are hauling water and so is game and fish, and we've made provisions for them to still be able to continue to do that within the closure. But it is definitely a concern. Hard to live without water.
No doubt about that. And so the idea is to keep the forest protected. We don't need any more Goodwin fires or Indian fires or anything like that. And I think, like I said at the opening, we've had wholesale closures of the forest before, and nobody really would have, I think most people would not have questioned you had that been the decision to just go ahead and close the whole thing. We commend you on the balanced approach. I think it's at least, at least if you're going to do it, at least you're giving things a chance to improve a little bit before we just simply say everybody off limits. So we appreciate that.
Well, you bet. And we actually hear from people on all sides of the issue. We've gotten just as many people saying you should leave it open as we have being very critical of us, saying we should close everything. And the thing is that there are some many known impacts, closing access to comm sites and we have all kinds of, youth camps and everything else. So there's a lot of known impacts, and we're willing to make those hard decisions, but we also don't want to give people a false sense of security. And so, we talked about the offsetting, the fact that stage 2 is being effective, and that the kind of fire stage 3 stops, it'll be that person maybe that was driving in the woods, their engine overheats, or they drove off the road, or the car backfires, those kind of things. It's a low percentage kind of event, improbable kind of event that we're protecting with that.
And pulling a trailer and having your chains dragging on the ground. I mean, that's been known to cause the spark that starts fires also. So, yeah, you have to be very careful, really careful.
Yeah, and statistically speaking, that's, if you think of the Viewpoint fire, that was not on forest, but a closure, if that had been on forest, a closure wouldn't have prevented that fire. And so we want to be wise with how we use it. And frankly, it's really, the public lands are a birthright of every American, and we want them to be able to access their lands with as few restrictions as possible. And so when we do, we're willing to make those decisions when we need to, and we are, we're a part of this community. We're not going to, we live here too, and this isn't D.C. making it. It's all local experts, professionals in fire management, both within the Forest Service and with our great partners that we work with regularly. So everyone's taking this very seriously, and we're doing what we think is the best overall for the community.
Now, you guys had a public meeting yesterday to answer any questions from the public with regards to the closure. How did that go?
it went well. I would have liked to have seen maybe more people there, but I'm hoping maybe that's a sign that at least people took some relief from the closure we put in place. But we were thankful that we had a good attendance by all our interagency partners and local governments, and we did have a good crowd and had a good discussion.
Terrific. We're going to take a break. More with Prescott National Forest Supervisor Dale Dieter when we return live on KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and on the web at kqna.com. We'll be right back.
We did it again. Cliff Castle Casino has been voted the number one casino in Arizona for 19 years in a row. All casinos have slot machines and table games. What they don't have is the level of commitment to guest satisfaction, friendly team members, and a warm and welcoming environment found at Cliff Castle Casino. Visit CliffCastleCasinoHotel.com today and plan your visit. Come and experience everything we have to offer and see why Cliff Castle Casino is number one and the perfect place to play.
I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle brothers from Gettle's High Desert Mechanical.
And the coolest guys in town.
I don't know, Ted. I looked at your high school yearbook picture. There's nothing cool about that.
Yeah, but when people need a new air conditioner, they should come see us, the coolest guys in town.
Just don't look us up in the yearbook.
Oh, brother.
That's us.
It doesn't have to be a long, hot summer when you get air conditioning done right by Gettle's High Desert Mechanical. GettlesHDM.com. Don't settle. Get Gettle's and stay cool all summer long.
Everyone's talking about Augie's Restaurant.
Augie's has the best appetizers and the best martinis ever.
It's got a really great atmosphere, a real homey feeling when you go in there. They got a great service staff that takes care of you from when you walk in to when you leave.
It's warm, it's friendly, it's fun, it's home away from home.
Chef Joel, best chef ever.
Check out Augie's. It's the place to dine on Highway 69. Augie's Frontier Village.
There's a reason Craftsman Tools have been around for over 9 decades. It's because their solid reputation is built on trust. They've been trusted to be in the hands of the home improvement weekend warrior and the pro who knows these tools will be there day in, day out. After all these years, Craftsman Tools have been in garages and toolboxes all across the country. They're finally coming home to Lowe's. Welcome, Craftsman Fixers and Doers. For your go-to tool brand, start with Lowe's.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And we're talking with Prescott National Forest Supervisor Dale Dieter, who's joining us live here in the studio. We talked all about the closure and so forth, partial closure. You've been on the job since January. You came here from Wyoming. What were you doing over there?
So I was in Jackson, Wyoming. I'd been the district ranger there for the last 11 years on the Bridger-Teton National Forest.
So is this like your turn? I mean, when a supervisor slot opens up, you have, over 30 years with the forest, right?
That's correct. It's not a turn thing. It's a competitive process.
Really? So you won the competition?
I guess, yeah. I feel extremely lucky to have landed here, for sure.
Is the threat of fire and the dryness and all the stuff that you guys are obviously dealing with, how is that affecting your ability to do planning in the forest? Because that is kind of an ongoing thing. And is that like on hold or on the back burner? Do you say back burner to the guy from the Forest Service? I don't know if I'm supposed to do that. But anyway, what's the status in terms of like recreation planning and things like that?
Well, in terms of planning, none of that changes because that's at least in Forest Service parlance, that would be the office work. The implementation, we are going to keep people in the woods in part because there'll be eyes and ears so that we know the closure is being effective. And frankly, so we want to also have folks out to make sure that our stage two restrictions stay effective as they've been. And so in theory, the closure area should help us even devote more resources to those areas. So we're not forgetting about any part of the forest. We're planning planning on having a lot of folks out. You will, we do intend to have them still preparing, for example, timber sales aimed at restoration or preparing fuels work that will help, with next year's fire season, which includes owl surveys, some of the things we need to do to protect the resource ahead of those kind of projects.
How are you guys holding out monetarily? Because I know, some budget years are better than others. Where are you guys in terms of the ability to fund the kind of things that you want to do or need to do?
Well, interesting you should ask that. Congress did recently provide us a fix for what, has been termed the fire, there was a fire funding issue, and they've applied a fix that at least stems the bleeding now in terms of the proportion that fire suppression is going to take up and out of our budget in order to support non-fire, which is everything that a lot of people associate with our mission in terms of, the grazing, the recreation, the wildlife, watershed, all those other things. And when I first started my career, the Forest Service spent about 15% of its budget on fire. Now we're up close to 2/3. And the fix that Congress provided starting in 2020 will freeze that so that it takes just that percentage, but it'll still be up around 57% and leaving just the remainder for non-fire. This year, for the next 2 years, we still have what's called fire transfer, where we're probably going to have to borrow from those wildlife accounts, the recreation accounts, again, to pay for fires across, the nation. So we'll still have to live with that. Congress did provide some additional funding to help with that, but our anticipation, given the way the fire season is setting up nationally, especially in the West, that we'll have to borrow from other areas.
After the Indian fire, there was an urban wildlands interface group that got a lot of momentum, and it seemed as though there was a lot of activity in and around the areas surrounding Prescott with regard to thinning. And I'm wondering what the status of that is right now, because it does look like some areas like Walker Road area below here where the radio station is, they've done a lot of thinning between here and like the Highland Center and Lynx Lake and so on. Other areas, not so much, but it does look like that's been a priority for the forest to kind of get rid of the dead and down stuff and then also try to create something that maybe is not quite as crowded as it has been.
That's correct, and that was the work that's been done around the basin did factor into our decision about how we drew the closure area, because if you look at a map of where we've had treatments, in addition to fires like the Goodwin and Rattlesnake and Gladiator, those have modified the fire behavior that we might expect. And some of the fires that we actually worry about are not necessarily the ones that start right in Prescott Basin, but the ones that we're going to start in the closure area, build up ahead of steam, and then come at the communities with a lot of force. And so, yeah, that's been a great effort. And after this year, we will have coverage of almost the entire forest for about 10 years worth of restoration and fuels projects across the forest that will marry up with the things that the good efforts have been going on private land. And we actually share contractors even between people working on Forest Service, our national forest lands, and private lands.
Well, and folks that have listened to this show for several years know that I've been involved in off-highway vehicle management and stuff like that. And one of the things about the Prescott National Forest compared to other jurisdictions is that the inventorying of the roads and trails, the signing of the roads and trails, is far more complete in the Prescott National Forest than it is in other jurisdictions. And that does make it, for someone that spends time, maybe in, Utah or California or someplace like that, and then comes to Prescott, they don't have to guess, where the roads are, where the trails are, which is kind of a nice thing. Watershed's very important, and even in the dry season, where you may not think that there's any water out there in the Prescott National Forest, there really is. And a lot of, what the Forest Service has been doing is to try and preserve the quality of the watershed areas. How's that going?
it's something we continually work on. And actually, a lot of these restoration projects that I'm talking about, they help with that, not only in terms of the water quality, you know, by avoiding an extreme fire, but by they have the potential to add to the stream flow by, because each one of those trees you see or the brushes, they're all pumps that are putting it back in the atmosphere. So they both have opportunity to help with that. And then we also look at a lot of the open space issues in terms of, you know, if we've got, you think of Yavapai Ranches, we do have a desire to, you know, hopefully keep that as open space, whether it's public and a private partnership or bringing it into the National Forest System, things like that that we think about as well that help keep those source areas for our waters protected.
Now, one of the important aspects of forest management is the maintaining of the lookout towers. Folks are aware from around here of Spruce Mountain and Mount Union and maybe Hyde Mountain up in the Campwood area. How valuable is it to have those lookout towers manned, and are they manned 24 hours a day, or how does that how does that management responsibility manifest itself when you're talking about these lookout towers?
It's interesting that we still find those useful. In fact, we have a hard time replacing some of the equipment they're using because they don't make it anymore. But they're, you know, there's something we're still committed to and that we find effective. There is new technology, for example, webcam technology that allows you to keep an eye on things actually even 24 hours a day. And it has some of the technology has infrared sensors. And so, you know, eventually we might get to some of that to assist with that. But for now, the towers are still doing their job.
Pretty cool. I can tell you that if you've ever gone out in the forest and taken the time to actually climb up the tower to talk to the people that are sitting there, they are usually very friendly and willing to share with you the, you know, some of the inside tips of, you know, what they observe when they're going on. How many people are employed now at the Prescott National Forest, would you say? And where do you think the challenges lie in terms of properly staffing the forest for the demands that are being placed on it?
That's a great question. We have around 120 to 130 employees right now in the forest.
For over like a million plus acres.
Yes, 1.25.
Think about it. Think about that.
It's a lot of ground to cover. It is a labor of love for all of us, but you do see a lot of people donating quite a bit of time just because they're so passionate about public service and the lands that we manage. It's a labor of love for sure. The biggest challenge financially really just still comes back to the fire transfer that we end up having to do to pay for these extreme events. And like at least we'll have some stability with what the Congress is, for the fix they provided us. The great thing we had to rely on here really is just, and it sounds like you're a part of this, is just all the community involvement and the partners that we have. And we have a huge amount of volunteers that put a lot of sweat equity in their public lands. And those are the things that really actually keep us afloat.
Ultimately, it probably doesn't hurt to have the Prescott Fire Center here with the, slurry bombers on standby too. That's probably got to make you feel a little bit more confident in your ability to respond to unusual events here in the Prescott National Forest.
Never a bad thing to have in your hip pocket.
So now, as the supervisor, how much contact do you have with the regional forester in Albuquerque, and how do you incorporate what you do with the kind of things that come down from the regional aspect as to how they apply or are implemented in the Prescott National Forest?
Well, one of the neat things that we do interact very frequently with the regional forester and the other forests of Arizona and New Mexico, and actually there's even a part of our region that goes into Texas. And luckily, though, the priorities that the region set up fit in very well with where the Prescott Prescott needs to be, and that's around restoration, relationships, and recreation, which are our three big areas. So we end up being able to be perfectly aligned and contribute to that whole bigger mission for the region.
So folks listening to our interview today are inclined to want to know more about how they can help to be involved as a volunteer with the Prescott National Forest. What's the best way for them to initiate that kind of contact?
My recommendation would be to contact just the whatever district office they're closest to. We've got an office in Verde or in Bradshaw and Chino. So that's always a great place to start, and then our folks can get you tied in with the folks who are touching the ground.
I can tell you that is something that occasional and casual users of the forest are seldom aware of what district they're in at the time if they have a problem of some kind, and they contact 911 or something and they'll call the county sheriff. And that's usually a very important piece of information to have in your hip pocket. If you're going to go out and hike or bike or ride off highway vehicles, or even just drive around, in a full size vehicle, it's important for you to know where you are so that they can report their whereabouts to you in case you guys are needed.
Absolutely. And we do have some maps that are geo-referenced, and also plug that a little bit. You know, the Avenza app, especially for our motorized trails, you can find anywhere you are, even without cell coverage. It just works off the satellite and the GPS data on your phone. So, a little tool you can use.
That's really cool. Well, I know you're only a few months into the job, but it seems like you're settling in comfortably, and hopefully we'll make it a very uneventful 2018 for you. So we can just get a little bit of rain. That'll just help a lot of things. But Dale Dieter, Prescott National Forest Supervisor, it's nice to meet you. Appreciate you coming in, especially the day before a partial closure, to share your insights with us. We really do appreciate it.
I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
You bet. We're going to take a break for the news, and when we return, Rodney Glassman, candidate for Arizona Corporation Commission, will be joining us live here on Talk of the Town, KQNA AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and on the web at kqna.com. We're right back after the news.
The open road is waiting for you at Affinity RV. You get a home with a view.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service Sales and Rentals, and we're proud to have been chosen one of the top 50 RV dealerships in North America. We're located at Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69, Prescott Valley, and Dewey, and online at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
Hi, Waters with the Plants of the Week and our Dragon Wing Begonias.
Leaves so mythical, they look like dragon wings, then covered with 6-inch clusters of pretty pink flowers.
The flowers are tough, loves heat, an amazing bloomer in light shade.
We offer lots of begonias, but just harvested a select group of huge bloomers for that instant wow in the garden at $39.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott. For people who love large wing begonias, they love to shop.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Prescott Film Festival at Yavapai College. This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals. For the past few years, Olson's has been a proud supporter of this 9-day event. This year, the festival runs from June 8th through June 16th, and that's right around the corner. Of particular note are three films featuring horses with unique talents. They are The Wild Horses of Chingutique, Silent Connection, and Kinksome. Each of these films will tug at your heartstrings in different ways. The first two films feature the healing therapy that horses bring to humans. The third film is a lavishly beautiful period drama set at the peak of the Austro-Hungarian Empire and is based on the true story of the legendary Hungarian racehorse Kinksome. For all the information you need, go to PrescottFilmFestival.com or go to the Olsen's website, Olsen'sFamily.com, to get links to the movie trailers. Admit more than one, because good enough just isn't.
The Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Thursday. I'm Link Elliott with a check of news and weather together on Talk of the Town, brought to you by Affinity RV. Sedona Congressman Tom O'Halloran was among those who participated in high-level security meetings in Korea's demilitarized zone. O'Halloran joined Congresswoman Martha McSally, Congressman David Schwickert, and California's Jimmy Panetta in last weekend's meetings. He explains the South Koreans are hopeful the planned upcoming summit between the United States and North Korean leaders will defuse the North's nuclear threat.
They want to believe that the North Koreans are sincere this time, but they're also prepared. One unstable person in that environment could cause a conflict that's devastating. State, and nobody wants to live under that.
O'Halloran says South Koreans have a reason to be concerned.
You're also talking about a country that wakes up every morning with the knowledge that guns, missiles are being pointed at them, and you want something to occur that is not violent.
O'Halloran represents Congressional District 1, which includes such communities as Sedona, Camp Verde, Rimrock, and Flagstaff. And the warmer weather means road work in Yavapai County, and that could mean delays for drivers.
Yavapai County Public Works crews are performing road safety improvements in Williamson Valley at Granite Oaks and Buchanan Drives and Blackjack Ridge and Outer Loop Roads. Work hours are 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Thursday through June 28. Overlay work is occurring on Merrill and O'Neill Drives in Williamson Valley, Ramada Drive in Diamond Valley, and Schoolhouse Gulch Road in Groom Creek. Work hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday through June 21. In addition, storm drainage street improvements are taking place in the Hokagon area of Prescott Monday through Thursday from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. through June 28. The affected area is Hosani Road from Yampa to Dene Drives. Drivers are asked to plan for delays in these areas and allow extra traveling time. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
Taking a look now at your KQ&A weather. Clear tonight, sunny and heating up this weekend. Expect an overnight low of 52 tonight in the Prescott area with a high of 82 tomorrow and a high of 88 on Saturday. 58 degrees tonight for Cottonwood and the Verde Valley with a high on Friday of 93 and a high on Saturday of 98. Talk of the Town will continue after this. I'm Link Elliott for the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM and 95.5 FM. KQ&A.
Choices, choices, choices. For those times when the whole crazy bar scene and loud music just aren't what you're looking for, but you're also not looking for a dull and boring family-style chain restaurant dining experience, we say choose tried and true Prescott Brewing Company. Comfort food and great beer. Vegetarian and great beer. Made from scratch, including the beer. Salads and pizzas, burgers and tacos, pulled pork and smoked brisket. There's something for everyone at Prescott Brewing Company. Real food, real beer, real people, and real local.
Shop local and see your tax dollars work local. Findlay Subaru Prescott supports nonprofit organizations, schools, fire and police departments, and charities whose efforts also benefit our local communities in northern Arizona.
Right now, for a limited time, get financing as low as 0% APR for 48 months on the 2018 Subaru Forester. Or lease for $229 a month for 36 months.
Built for all the miles to come, with 97% of Forester models sold in the last 10 years still on the road today. Now that's dependability. An aggressive sport design front fascia makes a bold statement. And a responsive suspension keeps the turbocharged drive agile and composed.
Findlay Subaru Prescott, doing our part to give back to our community. Shop online anytime at FindlaySubaruPrescott.com or call 928-771-6900.
EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2018 Subaru Forester 2.5i CDT models. Actual mileage may vary. Now through May 31st, 2018, get 0% APR financing for 48 months on select new 2018 Forester models. Monthly payment of $15.87 per $1,000 borrowed. Lease a new 2018 Forester for $229 per month on a 36-month lease. Standard 2.5i 6MD model. Code GFA01. 1729 to at least signing. Zero security deposit.
Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. After a very dry winter, this year's fire season could be more dangerous than normal. As a former hotshot, I'd like to share some tips on being prepared if you have a propane tank. Know how to shut off your propane tank, and in the event of a wildfire, do so, if safe, if you must evacuate your home. Clear a 10-foot area around your tank and remove any combustibles that can easily ignite. And remember, never store your barbecue cylinders indoors or in an enclosed area. You can find more fire preparation safety tips at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And joining us live now for the second half of Talk of the Town is Rodney Glassman. Rodney is a candidate for the Arizona Corporation Commission, and he joins us live. Rodney, nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, what makes you want to do this?
Well, first and foremost, we need to restore integrity at the Arizona Corporation Commission. I'm a business person. I'm an attorney in the Valley. I do have a track record of service with the Boy Scouts and the Air Force. I'm actually a major in the United States Air Force JAG Corps Reserve. But when it comes to public service, It needs to align with your family, your skill sets, and be a place where you can make a difference. And that's where the Corporation Commission comes in, because I do have a background in water, a PhD in arid land resource sciences. But most importantly, we need business people that want to restore integrity at Arizona's most important regulatory body, and that's why I'm running.
So, first of all, your PhD just, like, you know, knocked me over with a feather. Arid PhD in what again? Arid what?
Arid land resource science.
I mean, that to me, I mean, what better knowledge set to bring to whatever the heck you want to do here in Arizona than to have a working knowledge of that? I mean, that is, that's tremendous. So what can you tell us about the state of Arizona in terms of our water situation, and what impact does the Corporation Commission have on our water resources and how the citizens of Arizona deal with them?
Well, that's a two-part question with a two-part answer.
Okay.
As your listeners may know, at the time of statehood, the Corporation Commission was created in our Constitution because it was determined that there were certain public services that were so important that they should be regulated by statewide elected officials. And those services were energy, water, telecommunications, pipelines, and trains. So the Corporation Commissioner's job in the Arizona Constitution is to be a quasi-judicial elected official that is supposed to regulate these public service companies. We call them utilities. And in Arizona, what that means for water is it means that the Corporation Commission regulates over 300 private water companies across the state. Ironically, when most people think of the Corporation Commission after indictments, you know, they think about electricity, but 80% of the rate hearings at the commission are water companies. So the first part of that answer is, what does the Corporation Commission have to do with water? It's regulating the companies, and that's where not only do I have that PhD, that academic background, but as a Tucson City Councilman, which I ran for in my 20s while I was in law school, and as a former town manager of Cave Creek, which is where I became friends with our mutual friend, State Senator Karen Fan, I also have the operational background and the price-setting background to serve on the commission. So that's the narrow scope, constitutionally created part of the job, regulating those water companies. The second part of your question, as it relates to Arizona's water future, is more of a passion than just what's the job description. I'm Jewish, involved in Jewish National Fund, which is the nonprofit that not only has planted all the trees in Israel for the past 100-plus years, but also invests in major water infrastructure projects. And as long as Arizona sits at the bottom of the Colorado River, we are going to need to figure out a long-term regional water solution, which is what I would like to be a part of, not just as a member of the Corporation Commission, but just as importantly as one of Arizona's 10 statewide elected officials. And the reason I bring up Israel is because I just got back from there this past fall, and all of the water that doesn't come from the Sea of Galilee in Israel comes from the ocean, Sanford. They have 5 desalinization plants along the west coast of Israel. And what that tells me is that for Arizona's long-term water future, it's not just about conservation. It's about finding that next bucket of water. And with the retirement of Senator John Kyle, we don't have a statewide water guy anymore. So the narrow scope is regulating the water companies. The bigger issue, long-term, is who's Arizona's water guy, and I'd like to fill both of those roles.
Well, and we have definitely covered the situation with Israel becoming a net exporter of water in its region with the great job that they've done over there. Now, the Corporation Commission, and you kind of mentioned it, is mostly in the news because of rate setting with the electric utilities. So where, since you obviously have the background in the water, no doubt, where do you see your role as a potential Corporation Commissioner as it comes to rate setting with regard to the electric utilities?
Well, ironically, I would disagree that the number one reason they're in the news is because of setting utility rates or the energy rates. Sadly, the number one reason this corporation commission over the past 10 years has been in the news is because their lack of integrity. Indictments, commissioners' wives working for utilities that they're supposed to regulate, campaigns being funded by the very utilities and lobbyists that are appearing before them. And so the number one that I'm going to bring to the table is I'm the only candidate running that has put forward a proposal to restore integrity at the Arizona Corporation Commission. I would like the Corporation Commission to adopt what's called the Arizona Code of Judicial Conduct, which is the same code of conduct that is followed by every judge in the state of Arizona. And that is really the basis, the number one issue that I'm campaigning on, is why should we have a commission that really lacks the ethics necessary to make these kinds of decisions when it comes to the roadmap of how they behave. And so you combine integrity with my business background, which is over 20 years of working in the private sector. I'm the guy running who still works in the private sector. I'm the guy running who knows how to read a balance sheet. I do have my MBA as well as a master's in public administration. And so I will be well suited to participate in these rate hearings because it's really about protecting the ratepayer when it comes to rate setting.
And point well taken. The with all of this having been said, will the adoption of this judicial standard or ethical standard, is that something that the commissioners themselves would have to vote for in order to implement? Can the legislature or the voters be asked to legislate that this take place? How would that reform be implemented functionally?
I hope you're sitting down because it's going to knock you over about how easy it is. Remember we were talking about the Arizona Constitution? Well, we have four branches of government because we have the legislative, the executive, and the judicial, and then the fourth branch is this Corporation Commission. And as you know, every branch regulates itself. So where this judicial code of conduct comes from is it's actually adopted by the Arizona Supreme Court, a simple vote. And so all it would take for this Corporation Commission to hold itself to the exact same standards as every other judge in the state is a simple 3-2 vote of the commission. This is something that I've proposed twice now through the Corporation Commission's docket, which they ignored. I've written about it in the Arizona Republic. And what's interesting is the editorial board for the Republic did a piece, which is available at our website. It's rodneyglassman.com. Your listeners can read the submissions that I put forward in regards to the integrity. They can read also the piece that I wrote for the Republic. But most importantly, they can read a line-by-line analysis where the issues at the Corporation Commission doesn't have to do with anything more than how these commissioners behave. And so that's why this code would be so powerful. But it's a simple 3-2 vote. That's all it would take. And right now the commission, Sanford, I don't know if you've been following it, they decided instead of adopting the judicial code, which the Supreme Court follows, they decided to write their own. And it lacked teeth to the point where one of the commissioners posed an amendment, said, hey, how about we don't take free food or entertainment from the utilities we regulate? This Corporation Commission voted against that proposal 4-1. That's where they're sitting now.
Well, so now you've been on the campaign trail for a little while. What's the reaction and response that you're getting from people around the state? Where have you visited? Who have you talked to?
I've traveled all over the state. I have, and I'm very pleased to have the support of elected officials, longtime Republican elected officials from across the state, from Yavapai County, Sheila Polk, the county attorney there, who's very excited about my campaign based on restoring integrity at the commission. State senators like Karen Fan from Prescott, all the way to the west, State Senator Sonny Borelli in Lake Havasu City, Gina Cobb, the state representative up north, Noel Campbell. Wonderful elected officials, Brenda Barton and State Senator Sylvia Allen from across the state. And it's because of this issue of integrity. And when we visit with ratepayers, everyday citizens like you and I, who are just getting that electric bill or getting that water company bill, and they hear the Corporation Commission, they're disgusted. They're disgusted because of the way that the commission acts. The decisions are tough to feel comfortable with when you look at the behavior of the people that are sitting there and who they're getting their campaign funds, which I've made a commitment not to accept any money from the regulated utilities or their paid lobbyists, which I'm the only candidate running that has made that commitment because it's consistent with the judicial code. So the number one thing we keep hearing about time after time from residents, from ratepayers, is we need someone that's willing to protect us. We need someone that's not just interested in using this commission job as a stepping stone to something else or to fully fund their pension from the legislature. It's about protecting ratepayers, and that's why I'm proud as I go to these different communities. Not only do I leave with the support of their longtime Republican elected officials, but also contributions. When you tell an individual, "Hey, I'm not going to take money from the utilities or their lobbyists," individual ratepayers, you know, husbands and wives and people that own stores and realtors and people just like you and I are pulling out their checkbooks or visiting our website at RodneyGlassman.com and investing in a campaign.
Well, I must say that I appreciate, you know, the information that you brought forward, and folks that want to know more about Rodney's candidacy can go to RodneyGlassman.com and get more information. Rodney, good luck on the campaign trail, and we appreciate you joining us here on KQ&A.
No, I thank you very much for the opportunity. I'd love to be back, and would love for your listeners to visit RodneyGlassman.com and continue consider joining our effort.
All right, you got it. Thank you. All right, Rodney Glassman, candidate for Arizona Corporation Commission, and we're going to take a quick break, back with a few final thoughts when we return on Talk of the Town. KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and on the web at kqna.com.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last locally owned independent agents in Prescott.
How many Augie's locations are there worldwide? Well, the answer, of course, is one. The one and only Augie's, locally owned, locally operated, locally inspired by you, the people of the Quad Cities. Delicious steak, scrumptious salmon, huge shrimp cocktail, the best martinis bar none. Open every day for lunch and dinner, and ask about Augie's outdoor patio. The place to dine on Highway 69, the one and only Augie's Frontier Village.
When the game is on the line and you're heating up, will your air conditioner be ready to go to bat? With a high-efficiency Lennox home comfort system installed by Gettles High Desert Mechanical, hot, sticky air is going, gone! Knock indoor discomfort and costly utility bills out of the park with a high-efficiency Lennox system. Call Gettles today at 772-2751 to schedule your free consultation. Gettles and Lennox, your air conditioning all-star team.
Guess what? It's planting time, and Prescott Dirt is the best place to get your planter's mix. Hi, this is Sam from Prescott Dirt. Nothing's more fun than getting down in the dirt and planting your flowers or veggies in deep, dark, rich topsoil. Prescott Dirt's topsoil is dug locally from Willow Lake, and our planter's mix is both topsoil and mulch. What a great combination. Have fun playing in the dirt and making things grow. You can visit either of our locations, Prescott or Prescott Valley, or on the web at PrescottDirt.com.
Are you looking for the right product at the right price with outstanding customer service? A&E Reaper Graphics brings it all together with a variety of printing that includes banners, business cards, and so much more. A&E Reaper Graphics will get you the best products at the best price, all with our 100% customer satisfaction guaranteed. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
We did it again. Cliff Castle Casino has been voted the number one casino in Arizona for 19 years in a row. All casinos have slot machines and table games. What they don't have is the level of commitment to guest satisfaction, friendly team members, and a warm and welcoming environment found at Cliff Castle Casino. Visit CliffCastleCasinoHotel.com today and plan your visit. Come and experience everything we have to offer and see why Cliff Castle Casino is number one and the perfect place to play.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Now back to the roundtable. Here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
Well, I must say it's been an informative hour here on Talk of the Town. We had a chance to speak with Rodney Glassman, who is running for the Arizona Corporation Commission. And boy, between his J.D. and Ph.D. in arid land studies, or whatever you want to call it, the guy's just a walking encyclopedia of water and stuff. So pretty cool there. And it was great to meet Dale Dieter, the Prescott National Forest Supervisor. He was our guest in the first half hour, and a chance to update us on the planning process in the Prescott National Forest. And of course, we had a chance to talk about the stage three closure, which goes into effect tomorrow. And again, for most of you that understand it, it from Iron Springs Road and Skyline Drive West in the Dosey Pit area, so to speak, that's all closed. Also, when it comes to Senator Highway, everything west of Senator Highway around the Wolf Creek Road area, that's all closed all the way out to the forest boundary, and then everything south of Crown King is basically closed. So that is that's kind of it in a nutshell. So whatever you do, just be very, very careful everywhere and anywhere you go. This is the driest I've ever seen it in 33 years. We've got Talk of the Quad Cities continuing with Mark Levin, and we'll be back at 4 for Let's Talk Sports tomorrow right here on KQ&A. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Barrett Propane, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, A&E Reaper Graphics, Prescott Dirt, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.